We are Brightside.
Theater fans, and cut. Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
And welcome to this this month's March's Takeover Tuesday listener comments. We'll get right to it. Shot home, that way I would be ready to go. We're getting this out last minute. This is Monday. This is going out tomorrow morning. So this is Monday afternoon. Getting to it as quick as I can. I got to get back to the house. If you're a first time listener, thanks for joining us. The house is the new theater build. We're building a new theater and then we're going to build a house around it. That's kind of the direction we're going in. More on that in future podcasts and everything else. So thanks to all the Patreon supporters. We will be doing a Patreon chat this week. So as you listen to this on Tuesday, March 26th, there will be a chat tomorrow, March 27th at 4 p.m. Wednesday, March 27th, 4 p.m. Patreon chat. I will have the link in on Patreon. So all Patreon supporters, you can go to the link and join us on the chat. That will be, and then there'll be updates on theater stuff in there and whatever else you guys want to talk about. So, thanks to all the Patreon supporters. Really appreciate that. Trust me, that money is going to good use, and I really appreciate it supporting the podcast. If you can't support the podcast monetarily, just shout us out. Shout us out to your friends and family. That's basically how we're growing. And if you've been in the live stream, you see our numbers are growing there as well. Our audio numbers are growing. Our YouTube numbers are growing. The live stream on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern time are growing exponentially. Steve and I and John watching from afar, not very far. He's at home. Steve and I are watching these numbers and wow, couldn't be more appreciative and more excited. People are joining us left and right. So thank you very much. And that's how it grows. That's how the show grows. John, Steve and I have tapped out. All of our friends and family know. So it's for you guys to let everybody know. But this week, this podcast here, this Takeover Tuesday is, dedicated to all of, or most of, I should say, the emails that come in, during the month. So, thank you for those emails. We'll get to those. Why don't we get to them right now? And we'll have, we'll have some fun. And I don't think I'm going to have a rant this month. I'm in a good mood. I'm in a really good mood. So, cause things are coming along and, there's nothing to be in a bad mood about. Trust me. If I get in one, I'll let you know. You'll be the first to know. So let's get to these, emails. I'm not, actually, you know what? Let me pull up that one. No, not that. Let's, back that up a second. All right. Let's get to these emails. There we go. All right. Got the sounders and everything. That's how good of a mood I am. And I'm playful, having fun. I'm so excited about the new theater. All right. First email comes from Ian. This came in on the 26th. I don't think I read this one in the last show. I could actually go back and listen to the other show. But, hey, it's worth repeating, even if I did. So it says, Ian says, "Hey guys, recently when everyone from the big three, Brightside, AV Rant, HT guys, was talking digital media sales numbers, and you also mentioned the idea of flash drives as new physical media. This was a bit of a eureka moment. I think the doom of physical media was, oddly, the media companies being too user-friendly. Specifically, I mean that since the CD, basically everything is backwards compatible. I can buy a UHD player and play four distinct generations of optical discs in it. UHD Blu-ray, 1080p Blu-ray, DVD, and CD. With a gaming device, it can be six or more, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, One, 360, and OG. When VHS moved to DVD, everyone had to rebuy everything, and eventually everyone moved. But because DVDs worked in Blu-ray and HD DVD players, you didn't have to upgrade eventually. Same with UHD Blu-ray. So while the home theater enthusiast would never buy a plain Jane DVD unless they had to today, the normal user doesn't see a reason not to get the cheaper disc. It's a bit of a chicken and egg thing as the media companies don't stop printing DVDs because they're being bought. But people won't stop buying them because they are their kind of thing. Either way, if there is ever another format, it feels like the best thing that they could do for the long-term viability is make it not on an optical disc. This would actually be a perfect case for the lovely non-fungible token, since everyone could own their own copy of something that is unique and can't be copied without transferring ownership. But for some reason, the good users, digital media ownership, concert tickets, don't seem to gain traction. Money. Just a thought I had. Happy Monday, Ian. And it's so funny because he's all over it here. It's a great, great point. What's funny is I've been through all those iterations. I had VHS, collected VHS in my enthusiasm for home theater in the 80s, late 80s, I was grabbing every VHS I could to for my collection because I wanted to collect those movies. Full well knowing another format existed at the time, Laserdisc, and hoped and dreamed someday I could get a Laserdisc player. And it was probably 4 or 5 years later, and I probably had 100 VHS movies at the time. VHS was really expensive, especially if you started collecting early before pre-88, 89 is when the VHS actually turned to the 1999, you know, price to own. And before that, they were like 80, 90 bucks. And so that's why the rental went, you know, that was the rental boom because nobody would pay $80 or $90 to own a movie. When you can just rent it for $5. So the price came down, the rent to own. When the studio saw the viability of that, the laser discs actually were more expensive. Laser discs were $40 on average. Some of them were 50. Sets were probably 80. But that was the superior format. It had the best picture, had the best sound, all of that, but it was super expensive to be able to even see the difference back then. So, and the other downfall to Laserdisc was it didn't record. It was a read only. That was it. But with VHS, what sold people on VHS was that you could record your TV shows. That was the early days of, that was your early DVR. If you were tech savvy back then, you would set your VHS or your VCR player to record, like I would do it for my mom or my neighbor downstairs when we first moved in. You'd set the recorder to record Oprah at 3 o'clock, whatever, right? And then that would come on automatically. If you were tech savvy, your VCR didn't blink 12 o'clock. Your VCR actually had the correct time on it because everything was set to record by that. That's what was a lot of people didn't want a Laserdisc because it didn't do anything else. All it ever did was just play the disc. And back then, that was a no-no. Nobody wanted to do that. Nobody wanted to touch that. Only the true enthusiasts would even think of owning something that only played the movie. There, it can't record anything. I don't want it. No good. DVD comes out in 97. Laserdisc had probably been out for maybe 15 years at the time. And a lot of us before DVD even came out, when we knew it was coming, it was interesting conversation, in the, home theater shops or Laserdisc stores. When we'd have these conversations, it was fascinating to us to be like, how is this going to play? Because all it is a smaller version of Laserdisc. Nobody wants Laserdisc. Yes, it was set to be, the rumors at the time were it's going to be cheaper than Laserdisc, but the cost wasn't the issue. It was everybody that you talked to, it was the recording. And even the early DVDs couldn't promise that you didn't have to flip it. That was the other downfall to Laserdisc, is you got, depending on the quality of the disc, so you could have an a long play, a shorter play. I think there was a middle one, EP, I think, LP, SP, EP, or something like that. So if for the higher quality, you'd get maybe 35, 40 minutes to a side on a Laserdisc. You could do a longer play and get maybe an hour to a side and flip it. But if you wanted the higher quality, there was a whole bunch of variables to it. So some movies, you were not only flipping the disc, you had to change the disc on a Laserdisc. So you'd have a couple of intermissions on a longer movie. Movie today, like Endgame or something like that on Laserdisc, you'd be like, hang on. It'd be like, oh man. So, but we lived with it for the superior quality of 480p. Actually, I think it was just 480. I don't think it was progressive. I can't remember. Maybe it was. I forget how they mix up. Anyways, DVD comes along, and if it was over 2 hours, you had to flip the disc, or you'd put in a second disc. Most of them, they didn't want to flip them. They just give you the second disc. But that was early DVDs. It wasn't until the multi-layer Blu-rays where they could fit it, and now we have different compression and stuff like that. But honestly, the difference between DVD and Blu-ray, I mean, Laserdisc, a lot of the Laserdisc people were saying, the true, you know, hardcore fans were saying that the compression on the audio was less, or was greater on DVD. You got better audio on Laserdisc. People are still saying it today, that Laserdisc had some of the best audio, and it would rival a lot of our stuff today. So DVD, a lot of people were saying was, you know, a downgrade from Laserdisc, but it was easier to market. It was easier to market to the masses. So I honestly, meet myself and a lot of the people I was talking to back then were shocked at how popular it became, how quickly, where it's just a read-only format. Later on, it did come out. You can burn to a DVD that came out later, but nobody ever used that. By that time, we had our hard drives in our, like I had Dish Network. So I had the capability by 97, 98, we had the ability to record our shows right to the hard drives, right? So we, the backup and everything. So you, DVD recording your shows wasn't necessary, right? But that was, so all of those, to Ian's point, all of those formats, we had to do that. And you're right, Ian, since the DVD for home theater enthusiasts, you have not had to rebuy everything immediately, okay? The one part you missed on it, that you missed on here, is there is already a format, and it is a legit format that you do have to rebuy everything, is Kaleidoscape. That gets you a glimpse into, I think, what's coming next. I think eventually we'll all have a Kaleidoscape version. Kaleidoscape is proprietary, so not everybody will have that, but people will have home theater enthusiasts, and I like your idea here about the non-fungible token and stuff. Like, there's going to come a day where everything's going to have to be converted one way or another. Physical media will go away. it's just, we're already at the point now where, you know, movies don't fit and the quality is suffering. You're seeing it. We're getting glimpses of it on Kaleidoscape. And I'm not here to talk about the differences in quality. It's minor, but as things go on and things improve, that will get greater and you'll need a larger disc space. So I do think that for the home theater enthusiast, physical media will go away, but what we will have is the home theater enthusiasts will have their hard drives set up. They will be buying hard drives to store their media on, RAID systems, doing everything with a Synology. And I think the studios will come up with a way that when you buy it, you do get to download it. But it's a one and done. You can't, it won't be able to transfer outside of that ecosystem. I don't know what it's like. Giles and I have talked about it in the past. I've talked about it with smarter people than myself that in technology that know how to like invent this stuff. You know, like Joe, my IT guy, Danny Speakers, they're all into this stuff. There are ways that this can be done. And I think that's the direction we're going in. And I see all the people like, look at, we got Aliens and, you know, Aliens is out right now. True Lies is out right now. What's the other one? Oh, The Abyss. Sorry. What I feel is sad is like, I'm seeing a lot of people in Europe right now, they're importing it, especially in England where The Abyss was banned. They have to import it. It's difficult to get, blah, blah, blah. And then I got other listeners that they're in the States and they still haven't gotten their copy of The Abyss yet or something, because it's like, they got to press these things. They got to get them out to the people. And that stuff costs them money. Believe it or not, the studios, it costs them money, because like Mikey Schramm, I think I saw a tweet today or something. He's still waiting on his Abyss. You know, Mike, he's already bought it. He's waiting on it and he's excited to get it. He's always going to buy it. What about the periphery enthusiast, right? He's on the fence and he's like, oh, okay, whatever. He's new to the game. And he's like, you want to buy in on that hype right away. And it's sold out. Oh, forget it. If I can't have it now, I don't want it. I'll wait till I can just grab it. That impulse buy. Huge money in impulse buys. Well, once it all dies down a couple months from now, people forget about it. They got shelves of these things, but oh, people forget about it. They don't want to buy it anymore. We go to all digital. Mikey Schramm's not waiting for his mail to show up to get his movie. Boom. You got it like that. You download it. You own it. It's there. You get it right away. Impulse buys right away. Trust me. I know the Kaleidoscape kills me. I'm on the show. I'm buying stuff left and right. Right. You know, it's like, you're like, it's crazy. So, and I don't mind that. It's like, you hear this noise. You're like, you're all excited, right? Impulse buys. I think the studios would make way more money just off of that, once they go to all digital. Once they get rid of the physical, they go to all digital. If all you want to do is stream it and that's the quality you care about, which is like, it's better than DVD, right? But all the people, if you want that, and just if they want to print DVDs for the people that don't have anything else, great. Knock yourself out for the people that can't stream. So there are many options to do here. And I think maybe with Apple and iTunes, there's a possibility there for them to do something like what Kaleidoscape does, where, what did I talk about last week? I think, I forget the movie I talked about last week that I had pulled it up and watched it. And it was, me and Steve and I talked about it. Anyways. But when I had to re-download it to my Kaleidoscape, it told me I had bought it the year before for $4.95. It was an upgrade because I had owned it on Blu-ray. So they do have that, Kaleidoscape has that upgrade program where I don't have to spend top dollar to convert my system. I bought The Abyss for, you know, $45 on Laserdisc. And then I probably bought it for $19.99 on DVD. We never got, actually, I won I won The Abyss, actually, special edition on a radio call-in show, sports radio, but I had already bought it. But then they said, I wanted another, I did the special edition. So I called up and it was one of those magical moments in my life where I actually won something. I was the correct caller. But anyways, point being, $20 to upgrade from there obviously saved us a lot of money by never giving us another version until today. But then I did buy it because there was no Blu-ray to add to the system, but I bought it again. But other movies, I've converted a lot of movies for $4.95, $10.99, $9.99, whatever it is, but there is some savings there. So I can't imagine iTunes wouldn't be up for that, where right now they're giving you, if it comes up, if a movie's upgraded to 4K, you just start watching it in 4K. They don't even tell you you got an upgrade. It's just, it was HD before, and if you own it on iTunes, you get the 4K. What if they told you, here you go, $4.99, if you want to throw this onto your hard drive for, you know, which can't be copied or however, and let's not get into the tech part. That would be something that would be a huge savings on how you can upgrade your system and upgrade your movie and get something that's future compatible, that you're like, oh, what if 8K comes out 10 years from now and they do it? There is a reason for it. I don't know. I don't see it, but you know what I mean? So it's like, I love this idea, but you're right. It's like what I thought about Ian's email is there's an entire generation here that, which is literally, it's probably two generations to be fair. Since DVD, there has been no need to immediately upgrade. Everything was backwards compatible. So if you already had your copy of Terminator, Terminator 2 on DVD, and you got your new DVD player, you got your new Blu-ray player, or like me, you got a new Blu-ray player and a new, you know, HD DVD player. You didn't have to rush out and get everything that you already owned, because you could still play the DVD on it. And then you would also be able to compare. You put Terminator 2 on Blu-ray in, you put a DVD in and see, wow, there is a difference. Look at that. But the same player did all that for you. So you're right that it's not the mental mindset of the enthusiast right now for at least a couple of generations, because there's been no need. That's why moving to Kaleidoscape, to me, obviously a lot of people, when I first did it, or anytime I talk about it, they tell you it's too expensive, it's this and that, and blah, 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 and you got to buy your... To me, I was like, this is easy. It literally, I did the numbers out when I first got it. It was, believe it or not, a Kaleidoscape system today, in today's dollars, a starter system is cheaper than starting a Laserdisc back in 93 when I started collecting Laserdiscs. And it's literally not even close. And I'm going to go on a tangent right here. And this is where I don't think home theater is going to die. I won't ever put that at a headline. I like the podcast that did it, but I won't click on a link. I won't listen to a link that headlines a negative. Negativity is easy, super easy. It's a defense. That's what we do. Self-defense. It's everything in life. Every time you see something and you think a negative, that's your defense mechanism, right? Why don't we walk down a dark alley? I don't know what's down there. Why would I put myself in danger when I can take the lighted path, right? That's self-defense. Okay. That's a negative. You're looking at the negative. It's super easy to see. I don't, oh, it's negative. Oh, that's going to be horrible. That's your first, your gut reaction. That's going to be horrible. Roadhouse. It's going to be horrible. That's easy to do. Try to find the positive in something. That's harder to do. The idea of, and that's why negativity sells, is because everybody can relate to it. Everybody's scared of everything. FOMO, blah, 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 life in general. It's low hanging fruit, negativity. Try to be positive. You put out a negative headline, you're not really working very hard there. Everybody loves that crap. And that's what it is. Crap. Crap is negative. People lean to it. Crappy food. You know what's easy to do? Eat crappy food. You know what's hard to do? Everybody will tell you, oh, it's super expensive to eat healthy. Super easy to eat crappy, right? So anyways, so I won't clink. I won't clink. Speaking of clinking, drinking last week with the SVS guys and Ara and Braden. Awesome. welcome to ADD, everybody. So is home theater going to die? No, never, ever. Go ahead. I'll wait. I'll let you guys say, yes, it's going to die, or you go blah, 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 blah. Home theater will never die, because I came from a time, John and I came from a time, Nelson and I came from a time, anybody in the '80s, all of you guys out there that started in the '80s, we came from a time when home theater didn't exist. Not the way it does today. You know how it existed? Like I answered when I was on SVS Happy Hour. It's like, what's the most important part? You. It's what's inside of you. We're lucky. Why are you listening to this podcast? Why do so many of you listeners love to listen to Takeover Tuesdays when I have people on? Because you've been living your life so long, the only one in home theater. Eyes glazing over, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like listening to the negative comment, the first negative comment about this podcast. It's like listening to Dolby Atmos paint dry, something like, yeah, paint dry and Dolby Atmos. There you go. For all intents and purposes, if you're going to put a definition on it, home theater is already dead. It's like, because it's such a niche thing. It's always been a niche thing. It gains a little popularity or a little notoriety, but nobody does it, right? I guess that's the best way to put it. If you look at, like, have people over to see your theater, whether it's your living room theater, whether it's your dedicated theater, whether it's a sound bar and a huge story of what you want to do next, right? Listen to people and they're like, oh, that's cool. I should do that. Do they? No. And it's in you. And that's what it is. So it'll never, ever die. There will always be people out there doing it. The more people do it, the cheaper it gets for a time. The less people do it, it's going to get more expensive to do. But I've kind of been through it all. Anybody from the '80s or in, you know, and like I had, well, even Paul Hurt talking about, you know, the reel to reel that he had, that his parents had. And that was in the '50s. And if you had access to that, talk about niche. That was like, I got to try and do this. But like home theater in general, I think was really kind of born out of the '80s and people trying to Frankenstein some kind of experience in their home. And then it grew from there. But even if it diminishes, it's still not dead. It's just, it'll never, ever die. There will always be somebody trying to do something in their home. Whether you get the opportunity to hear about it or see it, that's a different story. But I know in my lifetime, it'll never be dead, because if I'm the last person on the planet, I'll tell you, I'll have a home theater. So it'll never die. So going through all of that, that's why I said I respectfully disagreed to my buddy, Todd Anderson on Twitter. And I was like, it's not dying. It'll never die. And just because the popularity goes down. So, but I don't care about the popularity of it. I know I have one. I don't need other people enjoying a home theater in their home for my enjoyment here in my theater. I kind of need it for the podcast. Podcast might die. If nobody else is doing it, nobody's listening. I don't think that's going to happen either. So, all right. I think I've gone on enough tangents on that one. Thanks, Ian. By the way, all your emails, you guys that come in and I read them, I mark them, and I plan to talk about them at the end of the month. I do this all month long. I'll read you guys the stuff. I'm like, and I think this is what I do at work. Think about you guys. Think about home theater. Think about what people are saying. So thanks for that. It's very entertaining. So the next one comes from Mike Schramm, who I was just talking about. So Mike, I'm going to preface this one. This one came in and it after my rant last month. And I don't think I don't want to read everything in it. But I want to read the general gist of it. So he says, hey, buddy, when you were mentioning towards the end of the show, your buddy was saying you don't have credibility if you are always bright side. I felt the need to write and support you. Listeners know that things bother you. We know that you don't like everything. We also know that you choose to see the good in everything, and that's exactly what draws me to your podcast. There is plenty of negative out in the world, and there always will be. I don't want or need to hear about more negativity. I get plenty of that in my daily life. I love that you choose to see the bright side of everything. Our lives are always better when we stay positive, as are the lives of the people we interact with. Then he goes into a couple of personal issues, that negative things that happen in his family. I don't want to mention. He says, and he wraps it up. He says, nothing is super serious, so overall we'll be all right on that front too. It could have been a lot worse. He said, I too choose to try and find the bright side in everything, and listening to you helps me stay up with my own positivity. You definitely don't lose credibility by staying positive. In my opinion, you gain credibility due to the fact that you choose to look on the bright side. Hang in there with the house build and keep up the great work, Mike. And yeah, I think we're going to have another email coming up too, I believe. Same idea. I got a bunch of these. Thank you. Thank you for the support and that. And yes, so my buddy did say, it's like you don't have credibility if you always are on the bright side. So basically where that, I mean, that was said then, but it's been said my whole life, right? And because if you're always on the bright side, then they think it's not that you don't have credibility. It's that what that really doesn't matter. It's like, we know your thought, so people don't need to hear it, right? We know you're going to say something good. But where that rant came from last month was, and like Mike says here, he's like, I don't need to hear more negativity. And you're right. And my podcast will always be 98% positive, but every now and then I think it is important, depending on the cause, whether it's I got to stand up for something or somebody, or I got to do something and I'll go at somebody. It's what happens, right? But I also think that what really kind of got me to do that rant, whereas I was trying to hold it in on the podcast, is experiences that we have are super important, even if they're negative, if somebody can draw from it and say, holy crap, I felt that way too. And if one person goes, oh my God, Mr. Positive feels this way and I do too, that can be, that's a positive, right? So that person then just goes, oh my God. It's like, and the other part is like these things, like a project, like I get emails from Gurinder all the time. He's been building his theater for a long time. Pluses, minuses, all of the trials and tribulations that go into it. If all I ever do is show the positive, people like, it's like, oh, everything's easy for him, or this, oh, everything just works out for him. And it's not the case. So for people to be able to see both sides, I think is important. But at the same time, I agree 100%, Mike. It's, you know, there's so many, that's why I don't talk about anything outside of home theater here. It's that there's places for negativity of everything in life, tons of it. Anywhere you go, it's hard to not see it, right? And I was just talking to my brother the other day. Like I said, he's in marketing, and he does the ads and stuff. And I was saying, my local news channel here, that you know, you do a commercial, and they run a commercial on another channel for their main news. And so they have two channels. One's a UHF channel. It used to be UHF. The other one's the regular channel here in Boston. And they actually run a commercial for their main news on that separate channel. And it says in the headline, the first thing they say in the commercial is, the news isn't always negative. And I started cracking up, and we were at an event with my brother. And I was like, how do you start your ad with the negative? it's a negative. Like, that literally is a negative in the ad, telling everybody the news isn't always negative. And they're like, come back. We have some good stories too. That's basically what they're saying. And, not even basically, that might have been a quote, right? And in marketing, you're not, it's like, if you've ever seen The Negotiator with, Kevin Spacey, and at the beginning, they have that guy trying to negotiate, and they say the line in Negotiator, it's like, never say a negative to the guy you're negotiating with. Cause it, that brings up, that can only go downhill, cause you're bringing them down. So it's like, if you can't get the, you know, that he asked for a helicopter, you don't say no. You don't say a negative. You say, oh, we will work on that. Oh yeah, we're working on it. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Everything's positive, right? Well, in ads, you're supposed to do the same thing. Everything's supposed to be positive in an ad, because if you set the bar low, now they're like, you just made the viewer of that ad think negative. And now you're trying to bring them back up, right? So in my brother and I are talking about this, and he's laughing because he's like, absolutely, 100%. That's what, when you run an ad, that's the way it's supposed to be, right? He's doing pictures for these reports within a company, and it's supposed to be sunshine. And now you want to know how sophisticated these ads can get. This is the cover of a report for the yearly report of the yearly review for a big, big company. And they're like, we got a sunshine coming over the mountains, but there had to be off in the distance over by the horizon storm clouds. You know why? Because they wanted to send the message subliminally to the people that, like, not everything's sunshine and roses. We do have some stormy stuff to report in here. It's like, and it's that sophisticated. That's for an internal report for a company. So imagine, like, how bad is your newscast and how negative is it that you're coming in at a positive by saying not everything's negative. That's horrible. So there's so much negativity out there. And that's why I don't like to click on that stuff. It's not worth it. And I find it, this, even just me talking about this, super entertaining. That's a positive to me. That's fun stuff. And that's what in home theater, that's the same thing. You go on to these forums, people are negative left and right. About products, about stuff that if it's not the product they're using, it's a negative, it's this and that. It's so, there's so much of it. And, you know, John and I started this podcast just to get some positivity to the movies we loved. Look at where we are today. It's like, we're talking all positive stuff about all home theater stuff. So, you know, you're right. You're right, Mike. It's like, there's tons out there. We all get it in our daily life. But it's, you know, and that's why I will 98% positive, but I will reserve that 2% for a rant here and there to stand up for stuff. Speaking of which, next email coming from Gurinder, more HT progress, he says, making some more progress. Ceiling is almost done, but the most difficult part is coming up. I have to figure out how to clear the AC supply pipes. I know. That is hard. It is, oh my God. And that's why I'm hoping as I design mine, I'm able to tell people don't put it there, but some stuff has to go where it has to go. Steve At came in and he's like, wow, didn't expect to hear soon. He's offered and he's supposed to be on the show soon. My schedule has gotten in the way. I was able to reply to him right away and say, yeah, let's do this. And then there you go. We still haven't done it. So, but we will. We will soon. As soon as I get some open space. And I actually have some open space maybe this week. But whenever I get open space, it gets closed really quick. Sometimes. Let's see. What do we got next? Here we go. Neil. Neil writes in, this one came in on March 5th. Neil says, hello DJ. I just wanted to reach out and let you know that I'm wishing you and your family all the best in respect to your new house project. I heard your comments on Tuesday's show about how tough everything is at the moment, especially with the rising costs of the new house and the strains it's putting on your family. It was obvious that you spoke from the heart and were being very open to everyone about how challenging it's going to be to keep going with the Bright Side podcast and YouTube channel. You read my letter on the show early last year. If you and the listeners recall, I was taking my wife from the Scottish Highlands north of Inverness to an Edinburgh hospital for an operation. You and John were surprised that we were listening to your show on the way to the hospital and were concerned about her health. I'm happy to say that all went well and Helen is doing great after her, after she had a stroke 14 years ago. She occasionally gets stents put in her brain arteries to seal blood leaks, but takes it all in stride. As a professional Kempo martial artist instructor, I strive to be balanced and to be positive. My wife is a very positive person, as are you. Listening to your show on our way to the hospital took our minds off the dangerous operation that she had in front of her. And to my point, I know that by you continuing the podcast and YouTube channel, it too will take your mind off the challenges and stress for a time, as listening to your show did for us. We are here for each other in our We Global community in different forms. I hope this helps you a little. Take care. And continue to focus on the bright side. Kind regards, Neil. Yes, thank you, Neil. That came in, March 5th. Perfect timing as well, like Mike's and others that I got messages, texts, DMs, and this was the other one that I was talking about. I got another one coming up from Paul. But, yeah, this one hit me pretty well earlier this month because, yeah, it's like there are worse things to go through. It is stressful at times. And obviously, Neil, you went through something more stressful than what I'm going through right now because this is, in a way, I don't want to say it's superficial, but it is. It's in a way, it's not health. And that's what my wife and I keep saying to each other. At least it's not that. Yes, and you're right. And it is why I sit down every week with Steve, even when it is hard, where you're just not in the mood because it's been a bad day or a bad week or whatever. And it would just be easier to crawl into bed and just go forget everything. I sit down because it is entertaining. Even just sitting down right now, I'm all by myself and reading this stuff. I love talking this stuff. It is a release. It is positive for me, just as it is for you guys. So, thank you. Thank you for everybody for the support like this. And I think, And then Paul also, he says, hi, DJ. This is Paul Hurt. He's like, hi, DJ, just catching up with last night's show after my epic not paying attention fail. Just replaying it on YouTube and hearing your opening bit about the takeovers. If you or Steve need any audio production, mixing, editing assistance on future shows, do hit me up. I have a bit of time. Usually I'll explain one day, so maybe I can help with the workload time crunch. I can send you my resume. Yeah, like I need Paul Hurt's resume. But that was funny. Well done with the house progress. I did at least see the part of the show. It's looking great. Hope things go well this week, Paul. And yes, thank you for the support there. It's like if I need help running the show, people are reaching out. So thank you very much. This is another Paul. Just listen to your solo takeover Tuesday. Sorry to hear the house plans got derailed a little bit. You will get it all worked out. I'm sure the stress is enormous. Like you say, the reward at the end will be worth it. Even having to delay the new theater a bit could have positive results as it will give you more time to brainstorm research and design. Still enjoying the show. Listen in the car when I walk. And when I walk, mostly takeover Tuesdays, but I do check out Fridays to see what you're chatting about. I'm looking forward to the Aliens and Abyss 4K disc talk. If you have to pause the podcast because you're busy, I'm sure this community will keep you plenty company by email. Absolutely. I'm still interested in a Tuesday at some point. Maybe when your home is done, I know I'm going to be a bit different from the usual home theater enthusiast. Be fun. I wish you well and good luck with the home build. Paul, who's also in Massachusetts. So when the new studio is done, come on down, Paul. That would be great. This was earlier this month, the 6th. So I don't know, Paul, if you've gotten the Aliens and Abyss yet. Love to hear what you think of that. And yes, it is giving, the new theater is giving me time to, you know, the delay, which isn't so much of a delay now. I'm going to be able to build. It's actually important that I do build part of the codes for the town so that they're asking me to. So might as well do it. So I gotta, and that's part of the budget constraints. It's like, I didn't want to have to spend this money right now because I don't have the money, but they're making me do it so that I can get it all approved. It's another story. But the good news is the theater should be pretty much done when we move in. So I probably won't have the equipment to outfit it, but the room will be done. And then it's a matter of how quickly can I get the money to get the theater outfitted, get the equipment in there. Most of it I have, but I need projector, screen. I think that's it. I could run the theater literally with what I have here. I don't want to because I do want to have front wides and I need a different system, but beggars can't be choosers. So I could just do my original plan, move this system in, but I do need a projector. I need a screen and I am not skimping on either of those. So that's a fairly, I don't even need seats. I'm willing to go with an old couch to start. I think I've said that on the show before. So, all right, let's see. Mark coming in on the 8th says, hi DJ, thought I'd pass along something I found on Apple TV. One of the 50 movies that Apple just added to the service is Gravity with Atmos. I just watched it at 0 dB volume. It sounded really good. For those who never got their hands on the Diamond Lux Blu-ray, it's a good way to experience it in Atmos. When you get a chance, I know you're really busy. Could you approve me for the Twitter group? I tried posting this there, but I'm pending approval. Thanks. Love seeing the progress on the new home build and love seeing your picks on the show, Mark. Thanks, Mark. You know what? I read this. I actually wanted to mention this on the show the day, I think I got this the day after or day before the show. Forgot about it. I also wanted to compare it. What I really wanted to do is I wanted to compare the Diamond Lux, the True Atmos to the stream to the Blu-ray. And see how that compared, because sometimes even streaming Atmos, the Blu-ray, which would be 5.1, a lot of times the 5.1 is even better than the Atmos stream. And I haven't had a chance to compare that. But anybody wants to do that and report back, I'd love to hear your comments, because that is a good one, because a lot of people see, oh, it's streaming in Atmos. It would take a lot for me to be convinced that an Atmos stream is better than the 5.1 upmixed with our systems, because the upmixing on our systems is so good that you're usually getting a pretty good experience with a 5.1 Atmos stream. It's nicer than a 5.1 stream, but I don't think it's as good. But anybody wants to hear that one, if you get the opportunity, that'd be great. This is Gurinder. He said, hi DJ. Is it? Yeah, Gurinder. Sorry. It says, I still haven't seen Top Gun Maverick. Hopefully in a few days. The room will be in a useful mode and carpet shampooed by today, but ending up spending 3 days sick in bed. It was supposed to be useful, but he ended up in bed. I just listened to the February listener comments. Sucks you have to. You having to go through all that with the financial stress, you will pull through. And just think of all the additional stuff that will come to market when you don't get to make your home. And think of all the additional stuff that will have come to market when you do get to make your home theater. There might be a telepathic smart home system via Elon Musk, LOL. And of course, in the meantime, you have your current one that you can use to de-stress. You could try some things out in there and see whether to incorporate them into the new build. Definitely agree with getting the kitchen cabinets and that you want now. You don't want to look at them every day and be like, I wish I'd gone with the ones I really wanted. Unless, of course, the podcast really takes off and you make millions from it, then you could change them every few years. No, I wouldn't waste it on kitchen cabinets. I'd waste all that money on my theater. And traveling around to you guys, that's where that money would go. Absolutely. But yeah, it's, and that was what I said then. It's like the kitchen cabinets. I had to do that. my wife, I don't care about kitchen cabinets, but she does. And I don't want her to spend the rest of her life looking at the cabinets. She, you know, the second choice. So, yes. And, yeah, I thought of that too. Like, who knows where the technology will be? I did, like I said, I sent out an email or I sent out a preview of the new build of the new theater on Patreon today. And, Steve Hatt said in there, it's like cause I say I'm getting an acoustically transparent screen is going to go there. And he's like, don't forget to leave room for that 130 inch display 10 years from now. Leave room underneath it for your, center channel. And I haven't even replied to him yet. I sat down here first, but I'm like, never, ever. I don't see that ever. I'm going with at least 145 inch screen. Depending on which is cheaper, like I don't want to go full custom to 145. So if I have to go to 147 or down to 143 or something like that, but in that ballpark to get the easy pre-cut made, whatever at that size, that's what I'm going to do. But at the same time, I'm never going, once you go, why would I go to 130 as a display? I'm going projector, acoustically transparent, rest of my life in that theater. I will always have a projector at the back of the room for that sole purpose so that my speakers can be perfectly aligned. You can't do that with a display. Even, and if you could, you got to make it really small now at only 130. That was sarcasm. As I said, really small. Let's see. Oh, G. Cornell wrote in. He writes, assume a calibrated 1080 projector, a good looking image, can add a lumigen and more calibration is done. How does 1080 content now look different with the lumigen? You know, that's what's checking. you know what's what. So checking with you for honest feedback. And I basically told him, I said, look, my calibrator buddy, Jim Doolittle, he's running a Panasonic 1080p projector with a Lumigen Radiance Pro in line. I think he's running the 4242, right? And if you didn't know, if you walked in that room, you would think you were watching a 4K HDR image. Pixel count doesn't matter. It's the HDR, okay? Pixel count only matters when you get close enough to the screen to be able to discern the pixel count, right? But if you're running 100 inch plus screen and you're sitting 10 plus feet away, 4K to 1080 is very, it's not noticeable. Okay. The HDR is, you take that away and what these video processors, whether it's a Lumigen or a Mad VR, what they're doing is they're giving you everything that projector can't do. Okay. And it doesn't matter what kind of projector it is. It doesn't matter if it's a 4K HDR projector, because I have a 4K HDR projector and you know what? It's turned off. It's doing 4K, but the HDR is turned off. The Lumigen's doing it. Okay. So that doesn't matter. So if you have a 1080p projector, it doesn't have HDR, so you don't have to turn it off. But the Lumigen is going to upconvert, and it's going, not even upconvert, it's going to send HDR to that projector so that it can handle it. That's the magic of these video processors, is they're doing the brains for you. All right. They are the brains for you. People don't believe it, but you got to see it. Now, does that mean a 1080p disc looks as good as a 4K HDR? No. Because you can't up convert something that isn't there. So taking a 1080p image and adding HDR to it, it can map it a little better than your typical, you know, display could, because it's going to add in some gradations there. So you have a better ability, but going to a 4K projector also might give you a little bit more sharpness when you run 4K images, a little bit more. It's hard to describe. You have to see it to understand it. But if you have a 1080p projector, and I also said to G. Cornell in this one, that maybe in a later email, I've said on this podcast before that I think if you have a 1080p projector and you're looking and you really like it and you're looking for an upgrade, I would upgrade to a video processor first. Get yourself that HDR. Give yourself the ability to see all that. If you have a good 1080p projector, you're happy with your black levels and you want to upgrade to, you know, grab a Lumigen. They're online. You can find them online $2,000-$3,000 cheaper than the big upgrade to go into a 4K HDR projector. And what the improvement you will see in your 1080p, you will be astounded. Okay. And then now you have that video processor for the next, you know, when you're willing to go to 4K. Now you're not even worried about what projector you're getting, what has the best HDR processing, JVC has tone mapping, Sony doesn't, or Epson doesn't, or they have this, or they have that. You don't have to worry about that. It's all done. But now I just want to get the one with the best black levels. I want to be the best color. I'm just looking at the brightness. That's all you're concerned about in your next projector after you add in. So I think it's a nicer step. It's a cheaper step than going from a 1080p and jumping right to a 4K HDR. If your 1080p has good black levels. Now, if you're not happy with your black levels in your 1080p, I would say jump up to a 4K with a better HDR, because a lot of them have better HDR. I'm sorry, black levels. So yeah, great question. There'll be more on that later, because I know he's got some other stuff. He has G. Cornell decided at the end of, maybe we'll hear about at the end of April. Has G. Cornell decided to pull the trigger and get a video processor? Who knows? Tune in next month. Nick says, hey DJ, got introduced to the show a while back courtesy of John Thompson, and I'm hooked. The shows are fantastic. Your positivity and joy about the movie world and the toys we need to experience it with is infectious, and I can't wait to stick the next episode on whilst I'm whiling away the hours traveling across the UK in the car. So I just wanted to say a big thank you to Steve, John, and of course, Mr. T. As an aside, you've got me wanting to get rid of the two-channel system, hack holes in the walls, the ceilings, and get back into home theater. But my better half has a different opinion on that. Enjoy the popcorn from the leafy Cotswold in the UK. Cotswolds in the UK. All the best, Nick. Thanks, Nick. Really appreciate that. Nick did buy us a box of popcorn. I talked about that on the show. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And yeah, and like I said earlier in the show, all of our support is coming from you guys. All of our growth now, and John talking us up and Nick joining in. And now I'm sure, you know, Nick will tell his friends, and when their eyes don't glaze over, maybe they'll actually tune in. So, but we're casting a bigger and bigger net through you guys. So really appreciate that. Thanks, Nick. And, thanks, John Thompson. Another Gorinder here says, hi DJ, I was playing some of the episodes of the podcasts using Google Podcast app. The most recent one on there is titled HD Experiences Contagion 4K. The show notes say email Dr. Pepper for a giveaway on May 2nd, 2023. I haven't heard the episodes yet. Hopefully in the next few days I will. Not sure if that was an old show note or you have discovered the hot tub time machine as you are working on the new house and you'll be traveling to 2023. Have a good one, Gorinder. This is fun. The reason I flagged this one is, so the way I do the shows and the way I've kind of streamlined my workflow for this stuff is I just copy show notes and I move them to the next show. Okay. So back when I was actually I will get back to it, but if you look at my recent show notes, I don't have time to get the stamps in there. Literally, I don't have time. I just take the show and I just copy it. And then if I ever go back and I'll put the timestamps for each movie that we talk about when I put those back in, I just edit the copy. Okay. So like whatever movies when we were doing it last week, I just have to retype all of that part. I'll retype the blurb, but everything else is all just copied. And somehow there was a Dr. Pepper giveaway in there or something like that. That was a joke. Sometimes the show notes will go out and it'll have a misspelling from the week before and it'll go out. It's just, especially now, you guys want to have some fun, read the show notes now because I'm screwing them up left and right. Like I saw one of them. I saw it the next week and it was like, I went to copy the show from the previous week to this show, to the new show. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is from 2 weeks ago. And I'd never changed the notes at all. And which is like, and that's why the Dr. Pepper thing got in there. Most people don't read the show notes. Nobody, and John and I laughed about it. I've put giveaways in there. Nobody ever says anything. So here we have one from almost a year ago that nobody ever said anything until now, I think. But people don't read the show notes. And that's right now, that's what takes me the longest to do. Producing the show probably takes me 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Between download, it takes longer to download the stuff and get everything organized so that I can put it into a show. And then I get the show ready to go, boom, boom, boom. But to sit down and do the show notes, probably an hour, you know, cause I got to go through timestamp everything, make sure I got the right timestamps, type it all out, type out each show, where it was, whether it was Blu-ray, Kaleidoscape, streaming, what platform, blah, 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 what are the codecs. And I put all that in. It takes me about an hour. Sometimes longer if we talk about 15 shows, if you look at back on some of our older ones. So yeah. You want to have some fun and see a lot of mistakes, knock yourself out. They're in there, but, thanks. Thanks, Gorinda. That was entertaining. And that will do it for this week. That's it. That was the last one. Actually, I did just get an email, from Smith. Thank you for joining us this evening. You know, Nick showed up. Nick and Smith from SVS, but Smith was just thanking us for having him on and everything. That was a blast. If you haven't heard that on YouTube, I'm going to produce that. It's the audio on that. I'm going to put it out as a standalone podcast, our interview with, Nick and Smith. And the HT guys, that we would live on Friday afternoon, drinking some bourbon, having a good time. I will put that out as an audio podcast soon, but the audio on it isn't going to be super good. I can't because Nick had to jump off right away. So we lost his audio. I have everybody else's, but it doesn't make sense to bring in five people and adjust their audio levels when I don't have him, but I do have the audio track that is all of us and I'll equalize that as best I can. But I know some people were saying in the chat that Ara was running a little hot and maybe some other people, but I will get it out there for the people that aren't on YouTube, and they want to hear it. So I will put that out shortly. It was a great interview. Great time. We all just hung out and talked. So, and Smith had some great insight into how SVS thinks and how they come to be like, get these new speakers and anything else they do, just basically their product, their product development process. So, that will be coming soon. Steve and I will be on later today, talking Roadhouse amongst other things. I did get to see that this week. So everybody have a great week. Thank you everybody for listening, paying attention. What does that mean? What am I, teacher? Thank you for listening. Thank you to Patreon supporters. You want to be a Patreon supporter monthly as little as a dollar. And if everybody in the sound of my voice, I know our audio numbers, I could retire and do this full time. If everybody just gave a dollar, that would be great. John and I laugh about that. On YouTube, rate, review, subscribe, YouTube, iTunes, podcast platform. Actually on iTunes, we could use some more reviews. I think our last review came in a couple months ago, maybe January, something like that. So could use some more 5-star reviews. That is another way. Growth. Same on YouTube. liking everything over there or disliking, hitting this. It's engagement. Leave comments, stuff like that. The comments in the chat are fantastic on the live stream, but, leave comments after the fact too. That's engagement, which pushes us out to other people. I'm not sure what happened. I have to prove something to them and I've been trying. I don't know how. So I'm not really worried about monetization on YouTube, but buying us a box of popcorn, you can go to the website, brightsidehometheater.com, and click on the boxes and it'll take you. It's just a PayPal one. You know, you could set that up monthly too, from what I understand, but all the ways support the show goes right back into the show and all the endeavors that we do. And it will be going 50% goes to, monthly will be going to charities once I can start thinking about that stuff again. It's not that I've stopped, because we gave over $2,000, easily over $2,000 last year. And we will get back to it this year, especially with our big one when we do Movember and the 24-hour podcast in November. So, but yes, so thank you to everybody for all of the support, all of that stuff. And I will see you later on the live chat and, email, DM, whatever you'd like to do, let me know. But the emails get read on the, at the end of the month. So that's what this has been. Thanks for listening.
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.